Welcome and welcome back to our podcast, Gen X and Gen Z in a Dialogue, a podcast about generations, leadership, and communication. In this podcast, we have different perspectives. For one, the experience of Gen X, my dad. Please say hello shortly because I always forget even the introduction.
The running gag. Hi.
Yeah. And of course, the new ways of thinking represented by me and the experience of our guests. And we explore how collaboration across generations really works in organizations, in leadership roles, and also in everyday working life, because it's not about the differences, it's about what we have in common. And before we dive into today's episode, we would like to briefly reflect on our last conversation. In that episode, we discussed a generational topic, leadership, communication, and of course, coaching with Guido Dolnitz. And one key takeaway was his inclusion of spirituality in leadership coaching, and that conflicts of leadership teams are often a direct reflection of problems by the leader themselves. Today, we're especially excited to welcome our guest, Chamika Ruwangi Karuruvana. We'll be talking about all the topics already mentioned before, her experiences and her insights and knowledge in terms of supporting women in leadership and in leadership coaching itself. Chamika is a senior banker with 22 years experience in finance, skilled at building and leading large cross-cultural teams across APAC. She's passionate about people development, about coaching and mentoring, and she serves on the Mentor Advisory Council and actively supports the Hong Kong Women's Foundation. She also champions gender diversity, creates inclusive team cultures, and delivers results through high-trust leadership. Well, welcome, Chamika. We are very excited to have you here today. And before we start with the first question, I would just ask you to introduce yourself as well so that the listeners get to know you better.
Hi, I think I'm Chamika. In addition to what you mentioned, just a couple of points. I'm Sri Lankan, currently living in Hong Kong for the past 8 years. Been in banking my entire career. Science graduate by the initial degree. I'm a mom to a daughter who's 11-year-old. Again, as mentioned, quite passionate about people development, coaching, mentoring, and supporting younger professionals.
Okay, thank you for that. Before we get into the topic, I ask you the question that I ask everyone to kind of, you know, get started talking about generations. And that is what your experiences are with not only younger generations, but also with the older ones. And also when you were younger, if you noticed anything that's still, you know, present in your mind, any experiences. And also your experiences today working with leadership teams and how you view this topic in general.
Thank you. So it's an interesting topic, yeah. So by definition, I am a borderline millennial. Okay. Mm-hmm. At workplace today, when you look at the current team structures, you have people from all generations in a workplace like ours. You have your senior bankers with 30 plus years of work experience, as well as your new graduates or school leavers who just joined the bank. So when I was especially managing teams in Sri Lanka, we had a lot of the management who were either boomers or Gen Xers. And when you had your junior teams, you had all the Gen Zers and millennials occupying those teams, right? So mm-hmm. when you look at a diverse working team like that, there are always room for, I would say, misunderstandings or conflicts. But I would in a way say that it is not exactly conflicts due to, let's say, personal issues, but it's mainly due to maybe communication gaps, the preferred style of communication, or it could be speed versus the process side mm-hmm. of things. Mm-hmm. So let me give some examples, right? So your Gen Xers, your boomers prefer a formal style of communication. So if you're especially, I'm a people manager, I've been a people manager for the past 20 plus years. So when you see teams, right, if you have Xers and boomers as your team, they prefer a formal email communication. They want to have a sit down with you once a month. If you want to set a goal with them, you want to have that face-to-face conversation. They still believe in brainstorming, sharing ideas through formal channels. So this is quite important to them. And then comes your millennials and your Gen Zers, right? Mm-hmm. Who operates very differently. They want feedback really fast. So you do fast, you fail fast, and you fix things fast. So while formal meetings are necessary, they need structure which works for them faster. So it's not a formal email they need. They need to know the feedback now. And they want accessible to access to information because this generation who are digital native, they've grown up with technology, unlike the previous groups, right? Where you got the computer, the one computer for the entire house, and your data is expensive, and you've not seen a smartphone. Your phone you could throw and safely land somewhere and still work, right? So that's the era where these Xers and boomers come from. So when you face off to a digital native crew that we see from millennials and from your Gen Zers, they're faster. They want you to communicate things over formal chat solutions. So if I have a problem, I would rather ask you then and there. I don't want to wait for the next day's stand up to ask a question from you. So how do you change your communication style to be able to handle these conversations, right? So what I see in an environment like that, being understanding both parts, because you spoke about earlier career experiences and early experience as well, because I was brought up by Xers and boomers, right? All my senior leadership when I first joined the workforce were boomers and Xers. So you don't have millennials coming in to change things, right? So you get used to their ways of working, you understand them better. But then you have your preference. And when you see more Zers and Xers, millennials joining, you see, okay, they're more aligned with what the style of communication you like to do as well. So you become translator in the middle, being able to collaborate, communicate between both parties so that we are able to achieve what we want to achieve. Because at the end of the day, our goals are quite similar. It's just the way it has been communicated and how we operate are slightly different. So I think that's where I see in a workplace how this all come together.
Thank you very much for this, Tamika, because I think having real life experience makes our podcast and also so, definitely interesting for our listeners and listenerinnen. And one question I would like to ask on that is, if you see an upcoming conflict because of the generational gap, and you have the feeling you need to jump on it, what is your experience in supporting then the people and managing the difference?
So I think, especially if you're looking at a workplace, no matter what generational differences or whatever the intersectionality of diversity that comes to play, the fundamental principle is the mutual respect and shared values. So that is there. So as colleagues, we always have to maintain that level of professionalism and respect. So our code of conduct, our values are dependent on that, right? So when you have that difference, when you see, okay, this is due to the communication gap, this is due to shared values gap, it is, as a leader, especially when I have teams as such, it's about facilitating that open dialogue. And one of the elements around that is creating a safe environment where your team feel comfortable, whether you are a Xer boomer versus a millennial Zer, are feeling safe to voice out their problem to you. So as a manager, that is the key, right? What type of relationship you have with your employees or your teammates to create a safe environment so that they can speak out their problem to you, so that you can interpret, you can intercept, and you can work with them to resolve it. So for me, I think, especially working with big teams over a long period of time, that trust factor really matters. Your relationship really matters. So if you, as long as you are genuinely interested in your team and is giving you a trusted, you maintain that trust, I think it's easy to know when to intercept, when to engage.
Okay.
Wonderful answer. Rebecca.
We kind of already spoke about, respect and communication, and I did want to dive a little bit deeper into this because we always hear from our guests that communication is very important. And I kind of wanted to ask you if there's, anything that you would want the different generations to do more. And also, I wanted to ask a bit about the cultural differences, because you've worked in a lot of places, and I just wanted to ask if there's anything you observe that is different, or if certain cultures could implement things that other cultures already do, something that you find really good, and just if we can talk a bit more about this.
So, what do you want me to start with? The culture or the.
You can decide. No
Yeah.
problem, Jamaica.
Yeah.
So I find the culture lens quite interesting. The communication lens is quite interesting as well. I think when it comes to communication, there's a lot happening in the current workplace. The reason being, the pace of the business change is quite fast. Things are moving rapidly. So your monthly circulars, your once a week emails from the top is not sufficient to set the tone. Yeah. Especially when you work for international organizations, large multinationals. This is like a big giant with multiple small wheels. All the wheels have to move in the same direction for the organization to get the momentum and to make change. Yeah. So in order for these little wheels to move, that communication has to drip down faster. Right. So whether it is an Xer, boomer, millennial, Z, it doesn't matter. You need to have the communications channel down. And this involves a lot of communication training as well. So as organizations, rather than relying on assumptions to say that, okay, this is how we would communicate to everybody, no matter what it is, it is important to understand what challenges each team or each segment of this diversity is facing, and then work with them to change and to adapt so that everybody's receiving the same messaging in the same way. Yeah. So whether it is an email-driven approach once a week, a face-to-face communication, let's say we have chat groups that is official. Chat group blast, news blast. So we drip feed information through multiple channels. So based on your style, your requirement, you are receiving the information that is needed. So rather than thinking one size fit all, organizations are adopting multi-channel, multi-faced approach so that people are receiving the same information. And also simplifying the messaging. Gone are the days where you have these complex terms, jargons, and high, long emails and long drafts and long memos and long updates. It's not there anymore because people consume information now bite size, right? This is the days of your Instagrams, your Twitter, your messaging, short notes. And now we work in the AI world. Everything is beautifully written, constructed, simple to understand. So organizations are adapting this to be able to communicate the messaging effectively and to ensure it's reaching the target audience on a timely manner. So I think that is how the communication side of things are changing. So what I see here is there's something for everybody to consume and do what they need to do. Because for organization to change, for organization to work, every part of the organization needs to receive the information, not just one part, right? So that is what we see. So whether the organization is led by a boomer, a Xer, doesn't matter. They're adopting the new ways of working and they are changing the strategy in which they are communicating. We see this across most organizations in terms of how they are adapting, right? Now, when it comes to culture, now that's a different thing altogether. In global organizations, right, each and every individual office would bring in the element of local culture because you have people from that particular location that is present there. But no matter what the cultural elements that they bring in, as an organization, we set common set of cultural principles works for the organization. Yeah. It's not an Asian cultural driven or a US cultural driven or a UK culture. It's not. is a common set of cultural principles which helps bring best in an organization. So which is what the changes and the behaviors that is expected from the employees, right? So I'll explain a little bit more. So again, I told that I like to champion gender diversity, right? So when you talk about gender diversity, a lot of the time there was an older concept called seed and soil issue. Okay, again I'm diverting a bit. So when you say seed and soil issue, they say seed refer to them as a woman, right? Seed is a woman. So the older intervention for gender diversity was more focused on the seed, the woman, right? So the focus was let's pick the seed, let's make the seed good so it can plant. So it's a problem with the seed, right? So the old intervention earlier, in a previous, I would say a long time back, a lot of the organization took was to empower the woman, to train the woman, to support the woman, right? But later what they realize is it's not exactly the seed only, the soil as well. No matter how good the seed is, if it has been planted in a desert where the conditions are not right for it to nourish and the right circumstances, the seed won't plant. So it is not just a seed issue, it's a seed and a soil issue. So the culture of the organization helps organization thrive. So no matter which country we operate in, that common set of cultural principles apply. So no matter what you bring in, best of the best works. So these are large, most of our organizations operate on these cultural principles. So in terms of the style of management, in terms of the way we deal with or work with people, in terms of the way we cater to our clients, it's global. It's driven based on this common set of cultural principles. So we try to look at the best and we take the best and we make it common so that no matter where our location is, our experience the clients receive is the same. So as employees, it's easier for us to move across geography. So when I was working in Sri Lanka, I know my company culture in Sri Lanka was very different to the local organizational culture. I would not survive there, I used to say, because it was very hierarchical and not in favor for women back in the day when I was in. So here I was, and also the seniority matters, right? Whether you have a voice in a say, your promotion, your growth was tenure driven, gender driven. But whereas I was working in an organization which was performance driven. It my age didn't play a role, my gender didn't play a role. It was all about what I'm capable of, and I received every opportunity that my colleagues would receive, whether no matter what the gender is, what the tenure is. So I was privileged to work in an organization like this. So when I transition to another country, it's the same. I fit in because we are from the same set of cultural principles. The organization works like that. So it's the same. So no matter which location I work for this particular organization, I understand the culture. So I know I will fit in because I know it aligns with my values, my principles, and I can work there. So maybe a long answer, but not sure whether it answered your question exactly.
Yeah, I think I would like to summarize it a bit, and I think the communication part was keep it simple. I think this was one of the key messages that I took away with me. And on the cultural part, I would say as a company, you should have a company culture. It doesn't matter in which country or in which regions you have your business, your company, because on the end of the day, this matters. And I think this is really important and also a key message what I took away. In this context, coming back a little bit to the generational dialogue, generational conflict, what we have, would you say that exactly this would help to manage the gap, the communication, easy, simple, and having this company culture in place, because then it doesn't matter which generation you're part of, or?
It yes and no. Clearly the culture helps with the feeling of sense of belonging for the people. So they fit in. Communication helps communicate the message. Clearly, when you look at generational differences, there's a bigger role the leadership have to play as well, right? So if you manage teams that belongs to different generations, you clearly would have different needs coming from them. Because while the norms, the ways of working is the same, they do have a outer self which is larger, upbringing, experiences with different teams. So that does reflect on your day-to-day, your interactions. So it's important, I think, for a leader to understand and work with the teams to ensure that everybody gets what they need to be at their best, to do what they need to do. Right? For a Gen Zer, it might be more around work-life balance, flexible working. Yeah. It's about accommodating and understanding their need for that flexibility. Whereas a boomer or a Xer may not ask for it. They may have the need, but may not ask for it. So having, let's say, organization policies that speak about flexible working, which is open for everybody to take, and from leadership side, you adopting these, whether you belong to an Xer or a traditionalist, or it doesn't matter, right? It's about you embracing some of these and setting the example can really help. So your flexible working, I'll give an example. Your AI technology is another thing, right? You have your new generations absorbing it, adopting it at a rapid pace, and then you will have your Xers being a little skeptical about it, and then you have boomers sitting on the sideline thinking, I've got 30 years of bank experience. Is it really the same? Can it be replaced by this? I don't think so. So, but no matter what generation you belong to, by adopting it and being an early adopter, by being open and also being vulnerable at times, saying, hey, I don't really know. Can someone teach me? I'm open for somebody to reverse mentoring me and tell me, the benefit of this tool because I can't get it. Creates safe environment for others to try out new things. So, in other words, be the change you would like to see.
We've already spoken a bit about different teams and also leadership. And when I introduced you, I said that you said told me that you create inclusive team cultures, and you've also spoken about when you arrived at a company that was very not judgmental towards gender, and everybody had the same opportunities. And you also said that in Sri Lanka it was different. It was very, the person at the top told other people what to do, and they had to follow this person's orders. And just wanted to ask you if you think that in this society also, if there is anything we can do as people who are, not creating these teams to kind of help disadvantage people who are being judged on their gender and experiences, and also how you create these inclusive teams. I want to know a bit more about that.
Okay, so I mean, it's not rocket science, right? It's all starts with a positive intent, and if you have the capacity and the time, it's about reaching out and engaging with organizations who can help drive the mission, right? So I spoke about the fact that I'm part of the Hong Kong Women's Foundation. Again, that's my effort to give back to the society, because I've benefited early in my career with a lot of sponsors and mentors who supported me as a South Asian woman to get face time to progress, to let's say supported me in my career development, connecting me with the right people. Again, it's not available for everybody uniformly. Again, there is different diversity strands, right? You might be neurodivergent, you might be having, let's say, social mobility challenges, you may have your generational diversity challenges. So you may have different challenges, but there are a lot of organizations that is operating in the society which is focusing on providing opportunities for these groups of people. So in your capacity, by engaging with these organizations, it's really great to give them the sponsorship and support. Being a mentor, helping them, guiding them is something I personally think most of us can do. I think this goes a long way. So with one of the foundations, I actually speak to school girls from economically challenged background. So for them, some of them are first time graduates or studying in a university from their entire families, first in the generation. So for them, there are no role models. So growing up, if you see my father was a banker, my mom was a teacher, right? So I know what professionalism looked like. I've listened to my parents, I've gone to work with them. I know what it looks like. I know how to dress. I know what a business meeting looks like. I've spoken to my father's colleagues. I mean, you are the same, Rebecca, right? You speak to your dad's colleagues, everybody, right? You know what it looks like. But these people or these kids do not have that opportunity because their parents are not in that social class. So from what, how to construct a CV to how to show up to a meeting, how to dress, how to talk, they don't know the basics. So by you spending that time, you can really help change somebody and to make an impact to them so that they can show up to interview better. They can answer the questions right. They can construct their CV better. So I think it's all about what you can do to make an impact to the society. So again, it doesn't have to be big, gigantic effort, but everybody put in a small effort can make a change. So yeah, that's what I can share.
Okay, thank you for that. I just wanted to know a bit more because we also try with this podcast to kind of give back to, society, to talk about problems that are not really being talked about, and not really, being a topic in everyday life. So I think it's really cool that you do that, and it's also very important for the people that you're helping. So yeah, that's really great. I just also wanted to kind of dive a little bit deeper into this generational topic with the younger generation coming into the workplace. And if, because we've heard from some people that they think that the newer generations are kind of lazy, they're not doing it like the generations before. But we've also kind of debunked this stereotype by saying that the younger generation just have a different view on work-life balance. Is that also something that you observe, or do you think that there are like real problems with this generation, for example, with all the social media and digital devices?
Do I see it to be a problem? Answer is no. But again, the ways of working, values, priorities of a previous generation doesn't determine how a new generation should operate. Yeah. So if we need to really think about what we need to achieve, we need to really focus on how they operate. So in other words, right? As long as it is ethical and they are not breaking social, let's say not social, maybe legal rules, how they operate, what they do is, I think we need to all learn from that. Yeah, because different teams work differently, and we cannot again, different employees work differently. So just because somebody shows up to work every day doesn't make them more productive than a person working hybrid. It doesn't. Because the work quality is measured by output. But what we need to agree is when you have these multi-generations working together, how do they coexist? And also we need to understand what impact it has on the business as well. So for newer generations, I think one of the things I would always say is the social media. You mentioned social media, that's quite interesting, right? Because in the world of banking and finance, your risk has a very large role to play. Yeah, because we need to protect our clients' money from potential threats, right? As a bank employee, it's quite important for me to be careful with regards to my social media presence. What do I share? When do I share? How do I share? Yeah, because somebody could just watch me and get information from me if I'm not careful enough. So when you talk about live streaming and when you're talking about all these newer technologies, I think it's important to share this view with the newer employees to to share with them what could go wrong. In a normal scenario, it's fine, but we know probably from the time when we had our technology devices versus now, the risk of unethical access, people being able to access somebody else's money, their personal information, is heightened, right? But with our online presence, the wide presence, there's a wider risk of people being able to collect our personal information, to create almost a person like you, right? And to imitate you. And the impact it has on us as well as our customers are huge. So it's about that responsibility. What is the responsibility you carry when you have a particular role to play to be able to conduct yourself in an ethical manner so that it doesn't pose a risk to your clients or to your organization? So I think it's not about saying do this, don't do that. It's about what could go wrong if something goes wrong. Have I taken sufficient controls and protocols just to ensure I'm not exposing myself? Yeah, because we've seen very creative ways of people being able to access information, to be able to bypass controls, right? So I think sometimes this criticism comes blindly because people don't understand it. But so it's important to understand the new technologies, to be able to work with these technologies, to understand what should we do, what we should not do, what is safe, what is not safe. So when you're working in different roles, I mean, it doesn't apply to anybody, right? Everybody, right? If you're a content creator, yeah, that's fine. If you are a social media influencer, that is your job. But if you are a bank employee, that's a very different job. Yeah. And you don't want your bank employee, even, I mean, you all have bank accounts, right? You don't want your bank employee to record their journey into the bank to do live cast while they open your account. You don't want that. You trust the bank to have those closed doors so they safeguard your information. So if you're working in an organization which requires that protocol to be followed, you got to understand. So it's not to, let's say, forbid someone from using the technology, but it's understanding what is appropriate and what could happen and what's the context, especially from your job's point of view, what you can do and what you should not be doing.
Wow. Rebecca.
I know it's too much of a serious answer, maybe for a fun question, but yeah.
I think it's a really important point because we didn't have that in podcast yet. How important it is to be careful with your data and how to protect, information that you put out on the internet. And I also think that, I don't know if that's just like kind of my view on this, but I think with all the social media and everything, I think people are also just very keen on putting their life out there, I would say, because I think like everybody's posting everything, and if it's just stories or just pictures, in the context with AI and how everything is evolving so fast, I think it's also very important that we are careful with what we put out there. And also, it's going to stay on the internet forever. It's never going to be deleted. That's also what my parents always told me. That's why I never post anything, or I don't have any pictures of myself on Instagram or something, because I feel like it was taught to me from my childhood that privacy is very important. And yeah, it's also very important to me now. So yeah.
I think that's a very good knowledge for your parents to share, especially because this was not something our parents ever had to tell us. Okay, there was no Instagram, Facebook, or any access to digital. Yeah,
Correct.
so it was less risk. But nowadays, a quick scan, any recruiter would do a quick scan to pick up your online presence, because if you, let's say, if you are applying for a job in a financial organization, your background check, if you have a record, if you have let's say some questionable pictures or information out there which will come up, which can impact in terms of your profile as a, let's say, employee for a particular role, can really influence. Because access to technology now. It's not a privilege. So I think it's that's where you need to think 10 years in the future, if I'm to do this type of a job, is my current profile going to create a problem for me? Because our ambitions can vary, right? As a 15-year-old, 16-year-old, you might not think that in the future I want to work for a government organization. I want to work for the treasury. You may not think I want to work for the risks team. So you don't know that.
Yeah, that's a fair point. And I think this is where some people are not aware of what they are doing now have a big influence maybe for a future application, for a future job they want to do. And finally they get more or less an information, because of something you did 7 years ago, we can't hire you. And this is something I think maybe younger people are underestimating at this time, but to bring a little bit of added value to our podcast and having you as a very, very experienced senior, I would like to ask you one very specific question, and it is about this work life or life work balance and your job as a specialist in the bank. If I know this correctly, you're a subject matter expert, which means you have really a deep knowledge in one specific area. And a lot of people are, want to have a similar job. But if we compare it now maybe to Gen Z, they want to say, yes, but I have a contract 9 to 5, or I don't want to work on the weekend. And especially in your role, you have different time zones also. What tips would you give to the youngest generations then, to the Gen Zs, to the Gen Alphas, which are coming, to have on the one side, yes, I want this cool job, but on the other side, I don't want to, do the extra. And I think this is very interesting, I think.
I would say if you're talking about the new generations and you're looking at the job and thinking, hey, this job looks nice, right? Look beyond the description. For a job, there are few things you need to look into to see whether is this something you want. First, you need to think about, okay, what does just this job means? What would I do day to day? In 20 years' time, will I still be excited to do this? Yeah. It sounds exciting to me, but in 20 years' time, will it still sound exciting to me? That's a question, right? Second thing, what would this job lead to? Okay, I'm going to join as a executive. What do I want to retire as? We always say, what do you want to be when you grow up? This is the first thing we ask from junior employees when we have career conversations with them. What do you want to do when you grow up? In 5 years' time, in 10 years' time, what do you want to do? Yeah. And if you see in 5 years' time, I want to open my consultancy firm. I want to be a travel blogger. And you want to pursue a job in banking now, how is that going to lead make this happen? You have to think about it. So you looking into the future career is quite important when you're selecting the career today. So when you're selecting a career today, you can do it for few main reasons, right? One, financial. I want to fund my studies. I want to fund my business. So I want a high paid job. So this job looks really attractive. So I want to do this for this many period of time to realize my business idea. Fine, you thought through. You know the capital you need to come up with. You know what you need to do there. Second, I want to become let's say, a director in 10 years' time. Or I want to reach this position in this time. And if I enter this program and progress with this organization, I've done enough research and met people, spoken about career progress to say if I am focused, performing, I can get there.
Okay.
Then I've done that research and investigation on that, right? But you should never just apply for a role because it looked nice. Oh, I met somebody who I really liked who did this job, right? Because the job doesn't become better but based on the person who's doing it, right? You need to understand. So we speak about this again. I forget the theory around it, where we speak about what is your passion, what are you good at, and what would organizations pay for you to do. So where these three things merge, I think that is what you should think about really. So focusing on what you really want to do, what are you passionate about? Because when you get to my age, or I mean pretty much your age, you really start questioning, is this something I want to do until retirement? Am I still excited the way I was excited when I was an undergraduate doing this job for the first time? Yeah. So I think also the organization matters. Where you start as an entry point really matters. Which organizations you enter to start your career with can either set you or really fail you. If you join organizations that set a good training foundation for you, because even for a house to build, you need to have a strong foundation, right? If the foundation is flawed, the house can't rise up, right? So you need organizations that can give you a good foundation when you first join, right? So if you find a good organization with a good foundation, that's one thing. Another thing, where is this organization moving? You need to think about it as well. It might be doing well, but is it against competitors? Is it doing well? How's their balance sheet looking like? Is this organization progressing? You want to join an organization that is growing because you grow with the organization. If the organization is not growing, it's a failing business, it's stagnating, people are leaving, and that's why you are getting opportunity. You should think, do I really want to join there? Because it's going to be a natural death to my career as well. Because when the organizations are thriving, the motivation levels, the energy in the organization is also different. So you do better, you perform better, and you learn better in organizations like that. So it's important for you to think about all of these facts. I mean, I know when you select a job, you may not think of this, but it's important for you to spend a little bit of time thinking about it. And also speaking to people is quite important. Nothing is better than speaking to employees of an organization. Rather than just reading up the website, looking at the job posting, yeah, that's not enough. Speak to people who are part of the organization. Do a LinkedIn search, reach out to a couple of people, have a conversation. What is it like to work for this organization? Does it give career opportunities for you? How do I balance my work life based on this? What are my priorities? How much, I mean, if I like to travel, how many days of leave? If I can I balance my travel ambition as well as my work priorities? And do they allow hybrid working? If hybrid working is important to me, let's say I want to go to my gym on time. So 3 days a week I want to have hybrid working where I can access my gym quickly. Does it have that? It is your requirement. There's no right requirement or wrong requirement. As a working mom, it's important for me to think about, okay, is my workplace providing me sufficient benefit, medical benefits for my kid? I need to think about it because I have a child. So it's not the right or wrong thing. It's about what do I need? For a newer generation of employees, it's also I'm studying for my master's. Can I get study leaves? Can I get some of these academic costs compensated when I graduate? Can I get that benefit from that graduation for my next promotion? Can I apply the skills I'm learning here? So these are real questions you need to consider when you're looking for a role.
I think
Growth.
that's honestly really helpful because you have a lot of experience and it really shows, and everything you just said like makes a lot of sense. And some things I didn't even think about, you know, talking to employees of a company that you're applying to, because it only makes sense to ask the people who work there, not just look at the website. So I think a lot of our listeners, especially younger ones who are just applying, can take a lot away from this. So thank you for that.
Wonderful.
Yeah. I'm actually done with my questions. So, Dad, if you have any other questions or if we should start with a summarization, then yeah, whatever's fine with both of you.
No, I think this was a wonderful ending from Jamika with her tips on how to look for a job and go a little bit deeper, not only to see the website. I think these tips are very, very helpful. Finally, I only want to say that Jamika and myself, we have joined together the ICF PCC education, which means we are professional educated coaches. And we do each other coach since more than 1 year. And I myself can say this helps me always a lot, because if you really have a professional coach who is really listening and asking great questions, this always helps a lot. And only for you, Jamika, and for the listeners, we did this morning a new guest appointment, which means Milene Baxter will be in our podcast, and you know her because she was our supervisor during this PCC education. And if the listeners are interested, what does that mean, getting a really professional coach? I think they can reach out to you, to me. This was more or less then also, my final comment on that. A wonderful conversation with a lot of insights from you, Jamika. They were really fantastic, really helpful, and looking forward to get it online.
Thank you for the opportunity to both of you. It was nice speaking to Rebecca. The first time meeting you, but thank you.
Thank you. I also thought the conversation was very good, and I can definitely take a lot of it, away from it because I'm also Gen Z and, I'm starting to work soon. And so I feel like the tips that you gave at the end were really, really helpful. And also for listeners, of course. So yeah, I think that's it for this episode. Thank you for joining us again, Jamika. It was really great talking to you. And to listeners again, if you have any questions, any remarks, always text us. We're always available. And yeah, that's it for this episode. And until the next one. Bye.
Ciao.